Save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound. Limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys. Today we are talking about Dune, Prophecy this time, based on the 2012 book Sisterhood of Dune, written by Frank Herbert's son, Brian Herbert. Did he want to have him write that? I don't know, but I know that he did, and it was part of like six books that Brian Herbert and his pal Kevin wrote, and now they're making shows out of them because Dune has made a buttload of money. This is Ryan. Adam's with me.
How you doing, dude?
Okay.
Well, I'm doing pretty good, man. And
as do I. Wait, dang. That's not how sentences
that's
go.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Man, what a departure from the sandy planet of Arrakis.
Sure.
Wow. Did I actually really enjoy this first episode? I saw everywhere online that this was a little slow, a little boring, and I'm like, how do you think that? This is so much world building. We're getting so much information handed to us at the first episode, and so much cool stuff happened.
Yeah, I didn't know until you just said that people were calling this boring.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly disagree. This is like the coolest thing about Dune, especially in like a post Game of Thrones universe where people are now used to extended storylines with multiple families and drama throughout, whether it be a medieval land on a medieval planet or a galaxy full of hierarchies just the same. We are going back in time. This is 10,000 years before Paul Atreides, played by Timothée Chalamet, was even born. And we are sort of near, a little bit after, just in the, I mean, in the grand scope of things with how many years they're covering here, we're pretty close to the Machine Wars, Terminator, Dune.
Yeah, it's Terminator Dune crossover, and I got a little tease. I felt a little tingle when we saw those first scenes opening up of the Machine Wars, battles happening, lasers, and then it's just done. And I'm like, I want that.
Right. That was sort of the only downside. I was like, oh, no, wait, give me that show.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Because, by the way, another book was written about the Machine Wars by Frank Herbert and by Kevin Anderson, the same folks who wrote Sisterhood of Dune. They have like six books out in the last 20 years describing the past Dune times. And one of them is Machine Wars. So they had to choose. They had a bunch of options for what they wanted to make as a prequel to the Dune franchise movies that are doing incredibly well. And they chose this one, which I haven't read the other five. To be fair, I haven't read the sixth. But I think so far this is a smart one to choose.
Oh, 100%.
We're in a tumultuous time in the history of this universe. Oddly enough, House Carino, 10,000 years ago, are in charge. They would go on to be in charge. I don't know if it was straight, but I assume it was. Dune heads, let me know if I'm wrong. But be in charge for 10,000 years, because Christopher Walken, also a Carino. Yeah. So we get Mark Strong here. We just saw him recently in the Penguin, which we covered, if you want to go listen to that. But he was playing kind of a character that had already been played by John Turturro, and he was kind of stepping into a role. This is the time where Mark Strong just gets to be who he is and a character that he's building from the ground up. And before we get into like the ebbs and flows of actually what happened in the episode, let's cover, I suppose, just as we already mentioned, whether we like it or not, but also the characters. Sure. So you mentioned that you liked it a lot. As did I.
Yeah.
I did think that the minutes like 5 through 20 were slow, but I also think that's just a byproduct of the amount of information that they have to cover. They have to assume that some people watching this show have never seen something Dune-esque in their life.
Right, and I think, too, that leads into why this was a good decision. Like, we know who the Bene Gesserit are from the movies, but if you haven't watched the movies, this is a wonderful stepping-off point to get that under your belt. And getting teased of the Machine Wars, man, it would be awesome if down the road, if this show does well, and I think it will, that will happen, that we will get the Machine Wars. I think that would be very, very cool.
Our main character is Valya Harkonnen, played by Emily Watson, best known to me from her amazing role in Chernobyl, one of the greatest TV shows I think ever put to screen.
Yeah, so good.
And Harkonnen is a name you might recognize. It's all those albino peoples who float in 10,000 years. Right. Come into Dune, they're chilling in Arrakis, and where, as you might recall, we get the spice from, which is the most valuable MacGuffin that this world has. And the Harkonnens, are actually sort of a lower family. They, the guy who, from the Harkonnens representing them, who was talking to Emperor Carino, was like trying to sell him whale fat. And that's where they are now. And then they have Arrakis in 10,000 years. So something happens in the middle.
Right, right.
Emily Watson's Valya Harkonnen has a sister. Her name is Tula Harkonnen, played by Olivia Williams. They are sort of a 1-2 punch. And they are leading the Bene Gesserit. And
Really? This is like...
Yeah.
This is before that was really even a thing.
They're
honing their skills and putting things into play.
I'm going to push back on that slightly.
All right. I mean, you probably know more about it than I do.
No, it's not that. It's just from this first episode. It feels as though, especially from that conversation between Emperor Carino and the Duke, whom is giving up his very young 9-year-old son to marry Emperor Carino's daughter, that conversation almost had nothing to do with the Emperor and the Duke. They were flapping their lips, but behind them, the two Bene Gesserit folks are having a full conversation as to the full context of all of this and then make the decision for them. So I think it stands to reason that the Bene Gesserit at this point have their grips on this universe and the people within it pretty tightly, but the idea that they get another 10,000 years to do this exact thing, like step by step.
Wild.
The power creep is a little concerning to me, honestly. Like, how much agency do anybody in this universe have up until Paul Atreides becomes a problem? Like, how much agency does he even have if for how many generations a group of women are with, you know, ostensibly powers, kind of, especially understanding truth and lie, although we'll get to like what powers are in this world a little later.
They're running awesome.
What would you say is the weakest part of this pilot?
Oh boy. I think the whole school part, like, I know they're like grooming these women to become full sisters or whatever. But I don't know. We're starting to learn more about people. So I don't know that there really was a weak part for me. I think, like you said, there's a couple of little slow areas that kind of bring it down, but then it brings it right back up in the next scene. But that's to be expected as you ebb and flow in a show and you start to learn things about people. And so I think some of the school scenes were a little like, okay, all right, I get what they're trying to do here. But even then, it's really not that weak.
Yeah, groom them, apparently. I don't know if that's the word we want to go with.
Either way. No, it's for sure.
What I think, yes, I agree 100%. We are now, as I previously mentioned, we are living in a post-Game of Thrones world. We're also living in a post-Harry Potter world.
Yeah, right.
And Harry Potter sort of nailed the we have schools, although one's for the bad guys, which seems like seems like a mistake kind of at the foundations of all of this.
Sure.
But because that idea, like, you are put here to learn this, and based on where you're, and I guess there aren't alternatives to the Bene Gesserit that I know of, so it's not exactly one-to-one. But yes, I think the school scenes were pretty slow. I think they'll pick up once the princess arrives.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we're starting to find the standout people at the school, like that girl who is like very confident and kind of like an asshole about the whole like she's gonna play a part for sure. So I'm excited to see what's gonna happen with them, but like the build up obviously is while we're learning is just it could be more exciting.
I think the weakest part of this show is Desmond Hart, played by Travis Fimmel. He's weird. He's burning people alive. He can burn them from other planets. Like, what's going on with the burning stuff?
Yeah, this is something that I asked in our Discord. And if you want to get on that Discord, you can subscribe to us on patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. But I was talking on the Discord about this specific thing. How are these people just lighting on fire? Is he doing it? Because, he's doing it to the kid. Spoilers. But at the end, it happens again, and she's not anywhere near that. And it happens the same speed. Like, is that him? He is clearly either a Fremen or a person in disguise as a Fremen.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot that we're starting to just get, like, the baseline of, and very intrigued with how this is going to play out.
Yeah, how did he even get cell reception for the burning? You know, like
this is not like there's technology or anything.
How many minutes did he have to use to burn that lady? I mean, I don't know. Okay,
roaming.
I know it's crazy. The bill. Anyway, I have a little bit of fatigue with Travis Fimmel just because he was a part of Raised by Wolves, a large part of it, and I did not like that show at all. I'm sure there's a sect of human beings who did, and we're sad that it was canceled. I was not part of that.
This is the only thing I've ever seen him in. So.
Well, he's also in Vikings. Which
I did know that, but I didn't watch that.
Great reviews. My point being, though, is I'm okay with mysteries a lot of the time when they're very character-based. Mm. I don't know how comfortable I am with mysteries when they're magic-based, especially when magic is nebulous in this world. Like, I know that, especially in a world where, I mean, and they're in the infancy of this, like, outlawing machinery completely, but when they're in the Dune movies, there's like some remnant, like, is there magic? Is somebody of these people magic? And also, by the way, Game of Thrones had this as well, where there are magic systems in that show that were unexplained, or when they were explained by, there's a god and he bestows this magic upon us. And it's never really answered whether or not those gods exist. But magic is sort of happening-ish, so it has to come from somewhere. So there is a little bit of trepidation for me whenever there's just a magic thing, and they're like, oh, we'll get to it. Like, okay.
Yeah, like the voice, too, and we see that in the movies. We see the birth of the voice power here, really, the first time she uses it. And what is that? She can control, they can tell if people are lying telepathically. Like, it's just... I'm on the fence about magic in general in this world, although I know it's going to happen, because I like the idea of like a very advanced civilization with crazy awesome technology. They just stopped expansion of that technology intentionally to not cause mechanical war against themselves. So I like that, but like the magic kind of feels cheap to me, but I it's part of canon, so I just kind of accept it. But do I wish it wasn't there? Kind of.
That's sort of the only place where I'd rather not have that thing. So let's, overall, though, I would watch the show if we weren't doing a podcast about it.
100%.
I enjoy the entire Dune universe. I think it's done incredibly well. And so let's just get into the episode and go not beat by beat, but a little bit. So we sure. enter the Bene Gesserit at the beginning at a turning point. The grand all mother lady is on her deathbed, and she chooses a young Valya Harkonnen to sort of lead them into the future over her own daughter. Her own daughter is like, how dare you? Also, I don't think we should just be like doing eugenics. I don't think we should be doing a breeding pattern that gets the way things the way we want it to go. Like, we shouldn't be playing God. And Valya's response to that is, slice your own throat, idiot.
Oh, that was awesome. Like, so about this show, they do not like hold back on deaths so far, episode one, which is, I like that. Like, that sounds wild, but like, I like that they are showing it. It's an HBO show. Show us the blood and guts and the gore and all that stuff. Like, it's part of it. So that when that scene happened, I was surprised. And I audibly said, like, whoa, shit.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Like, just that's stab your doing. Own neck. Sure.
We also get introduced to all the chillins, all the children in the world of the emperor. So we get introduced to his daughter, whom the Bene Gesserit have made very clear, like, she needs to marry this tiny child. Gross.
Gross.
But that's the that's going to like keep this line and keep people alive and keep its stability, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever they're deciding or whatever their reasons are for doing this. We meet her brother, and we also meet the swordmaster of the family, whom the princess is obviously into. There's like a little beast plot where they go clubbing before the daughter is about to leave again to go to the Bene Gesserit school.
And do spice.
Yeah, they do spice like they do, like it's Coke. And that's fine, I guess. But the idea is that she's going to marry this young boy. And until he is of age, she will sort of be ruling. But at the same time, not like from the Bene Gesserit school the next 10 years, question mark?
Yeah, right. Right. Weird. She made a line, or she said a line that said, well, you know, I am not the only one who, or you're not the only one who knows how to negotiate. Like, I am playing this into my hand. I'm going to manipulate this and groom this kid potentially
let's use other
words. Is it wrong?
Right?
Is it wrong?
Yes.
well, groom in a influential way for power of a giant world, you know?
Yeah, that's what the definition. Okay. Anyway, my point is that sure, she says that, but is that even, that's not real at all. Like, the point is the Bene Gesserit are putting a girl whom is going to be a part of the Bene Gesserit on the throne for the next 10 years before Duke Boy is going to rule. Although that might be their little snafu there, because that little boy at some point in this episode Merton's alive.
Yeah, so is it like one of those king queen things where she just automatically becomes power until she marries or dies, or is it, I assume that's how it's going to be, because they already made it official. They had that whole scene where they ate the fruit. Weird.
Right. They're married. Well, yeah, they weren't married for long. They were married for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
We also get a bit of insight into the emperor's marriage. She is he's married to Empress Natalia, played by Jodie May, and he seems to, in the past, have taken her guidance a bit more literally. These days, he seems to be leaning more towards what his truthsayer from the Bene Gesserit is telling him to do, whom, by the way, the night of the wedding is suddenly absent because she had a nightmare that was like, oh, don't do this, and went back to the Bene Gesserit world to be like, guys, they told me not to do this. At which time Valya Harkonnen was like, shut up.
just go away from me.
And then she's like, fine. Oh my God, I'm burning alive.
Oof. Big oof. And she just watched her too. I mean, we're not even there yet, but like, you know, she just like watched. She didn't even like try and do it. I mean, what could you do really? But
a few things happen here or there that I think, I don't know how much they'll matter. The Tula and Valya are choosing whom is going to like be Princess Yanez's bestest friend when she gets there, like who's going to be able to manipulate her the best. At the same time, in the post wedding celebration, the little boy has a toy that is a mechanical wizard. Now, as you might lizard, close enough. As you might recall, mechanical stuff. No, don't do that.
Yeah, AI is not chill here like it is on Earth.
I would argue. I don't know how chill AI is on Earth, but like across the board, the point is it almost ruined the night. But Mark Strong's Emperor was just like, everything's fine. Desmond Hart stabs the toy through the center of it. Empress Natalia is like, this ends the night, right? This ends this whole thing. While Emperor Carino is like, nah.
Do we believe that it actually was a toy, or do we believe it was something more? Because it disappeared. It disappeared. We don't know where it is.
No, he burned. Took it out.
Yeah,
right?
But he burned, and it was not in his hands, and it was gone. Where is it?
That's a good. I don't know if it's something more, but at this point, I assume it was just a toy until proven otherwise. I will say that they were at the celebration. They were coming for that boy. Yeah. And his new wife, the princess, stood in front of him, defended him. And then when everybody turned around, she turned around to that little boy and was like, I'll stab you to death myself if you keep doing shit like this.
Hard. Oh, my God. So cold.
Right. But also giving you the vibes of like she could be a ruthless leader if given the chance. Plus, add some Bene Gesserit to that soup. And you might get an interesting next 10 years.
Or maybe she won't be able to be manipulated as well as they thought.
We then go to the end of the night during the wedding celebration. And Desmond Hart / Emperor Carino have a broad discussion. At some point here, Desmond Hart has also made clear that his battalion was not murdered during a Fremen attack. It was sort of a counterinsurgency by another major house stealing spice. Also, the Emperor watches like a video of it happen. And within that video, a sandworm is about to eat Desmond Hart, but then doesn't. What's that about?
Well, does he? Doesn't? Is he? Did he survive? Is he riding the sandworm? You know, we don't know because it was a big plume of smoke. Like it looked like it engulfed him, right? And then big plume of smoke, and then video ended. So, did he? I mean, I don't know. Is that fake? Was it a fake hologram? I don't know. I don't know what to believe in this world.
Yeah, who are you working for, Desmond Hart? Who's...
Yeah, right. I'm working for myself.
And by the way, Desmond is anti-Bene Gesserit. That's his like main thing.
Right.
He has somehow sussed out, whether it be by himself or with a faction that is currently unnamed, decided that the Bene Gesserit are leading the universe down a path that they don't like. They're completely in charge. Autonomy is gone. And they're basically dictators at this point, which he's not wrong.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And his faction or him have decided, no, whether it be not that, the option of not that, or what we want, that should be implemented. Although, on the other side of this, we also know what happens, right? 10,000 years from now, Bene Gesserit are still around. They're still pulling the strings. The thing that might derail them, and if you can even call it a derailment because it's what they wanted in the first place, is a like complete prophet who might start like, I don't know, a gigantic war that kills billions. But which is like, right. Is that the goal? I don't know. Yeah. Dune is... There's so much in Dune.
There's so much going on. There's so much world building. I rewatched a few scenes just because like I kind of lost myself watching it and I wanted to I just wanted to hear it again because I didn't like fully comprehend it. And it's just there's so much going on that I think a double watch of each episode for me is probably going to be what I'm doing moving forward just so I can understand what's happening.
This show is being run by Alison Shapker. The showrunner was replaced. There was a pause when people had to be recast. This is back in like 2022.
Oh yeah.
And the showrunner was replaced and the writer was replaced. And, the writer who was writing Dune 2 was the showrunner, but then he got, moved out of that role so that, he could just, you know, write. But, Allison was a writer and executive producer for Westworld. which has its pros and cons.
Sure.
it also sticks to the roots of this here podcast you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Also was previously the showrunner of Altered Carbon, which I haven't watched, but everybody says is great. Co-executive producer of Scandal, also on The Flash, Almost Human, Fringe. So has been around the Nolans for a bit here.
Sure.
Add on to that Lost, Alias, and then Charmed in the early 2000s.
So she's good with sci-fi.
Yeah, no, she's good. Her resume is crazy good. And if this first episode is indicative of what this first season is going to be, then, you know, strap on to this rocket ship. It's pretty cool.
It looks so good, too. Like, you know, bad CGI, good CGI. This looked amazing. The special effects were so good. The set pieces were ginormous, just like the Dune movies. And I'm just so excited that there's so much detail and care being put into a show. Because when you look at shows like The Penguin or The Last of Us, when they spend time on the little details, man, it pays off for the show and as a whole. I love it.
Dune Prophecy is going to be 6 episodes. I don't know how many seasons they will do. I don't know how many like side project other books, obviously, as previously stated, like written by Brian Herbert, Frank Herbert's son, who wrote Dune, and his pal Kevin J. Anderson. So I don't know how many of these they're going to make, but as long as they keep doing well, I don't foresee them stopping anytime soon. I mean, this is like one of the probably biggest cash cows that, I mean, for sure, like HBO, but at the same time, whoever's making this, and I was kind of stalling to be able to find out, but has right now.
I didn't know it was only going to be 6 episodes.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, man. That's actually a bummer that I'm learning now that it's only going to be 6 episodes. I thought at least 8.
Right. I mean, yeah, only 6 doesn't seem. And by the way, like if it's 6, you thought maybe, or you would think that this first episode would be even, longer than it was.
Yeah. Right. It was an hour and what, 5 minutes, something like that? Hour and 10 minutes, something like that. Yeah, I figured maybe 90 minutes first episode, you know, short movie.
Yeah. So like, anyway, my point is that it's a great show. I wonder if it will meander. It feels as though it has the ability to meander, to have a bit more boring parts than good parts. Like, It just really depends on how interesting the back and forth between all these families are, and how much if I'm being honest, how much all the magic matters, because I want the magic to matter less than it does.
Same.
Already.
And I'm excited to hear good dialogue sequences. I love tense dialogue scenes, you know. Tarantino, one of my favorite directors, he's famous for that, and I love that there could be nothing happening on screen very much, but if it's an engaging conversation that's like tense or exciting, I love that. So I can give the boring slow parts a pass if it's good to listen to.
And if you think this is good to listen to, then I have great news for you. You can listen to a bunch more stuff we've already made. This has been a podcast for like 9 years or whatever. So there's a bunch of episodes online. Go back, listen to those. And if you want to help us out monetarily, it all gets reintroduced back into the podcast. Adam's going to describe how you do that right now.
Yes, you can subscribe to our Patreon, like I said earlier, at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can get extra add-ons periodically, ad-free uploads, and the wonderful, warm feeling of supporting small creators like us, and the just knowing that we appreciate you. But I also read your name at the end of all the podcasts, so please, we'd like to thank all of our patrons: Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butternickel, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cosmic Starfish #1. And thank you, Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you more, but we really appreciate everyone. Follow us on all the social medias at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast, Instagram, Threads. I'm on that Blue Sky app now. Started posting pictures because that's all I see on there. So go like my pictures, I guess. And then TikTok as well. Periodically, I'll post and comment and all that stuff. So interact with us. Give us suggestions. Talk to us on the Discord. And that's the name of the game, you know?
Yeah. I just learned that there's some backlash on the show about DEI politics. I'm not going to get it. Like, yeah. But I suppose my response to that is, yeah, of course there is.
Sure. Yeah. Everything has something, you know?
Right. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for joining us here for Dune Prophecy Episode 1. If you want to come back next week, that'd be chill. And listen to
Fridays
more.
Fridays, yeah. Every Friday.
It comes out on Friday. So we're, as you'll learn if this is your first time here, we're terrible at making podcasts and telling people when it happens.
Friday mornings now. Pretty, you know, or Thursday, whatever. Who cares?
Okay, now you and I, let's sing Dune and try to harmonize. One, two, three.
Oh.
Your idea was better.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound. Limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.